From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Road. Boys and girls, your sideways look at the news and sometimes the champion of the little people, because that's what we like to do. So don't forget what you were hearing from Mark at the Consumer Action Group just before the break. If you've suffered at the hands of eBay, do get in touch with us via your station, or you can Facebook message us. Our page is just simply called Radio on Facebook, or you can email studio@rti.fm. Either way round, we'll get in touch with you. Big news in the technology world this week. Microsoft has confirmed it has agreed to buy internet phone service Skype for somewhere around $8.5 billion, or £5.2 million, whichever way you want to go. The Luxembourg now based group, because they weren't originally, has 663 million global users. What a marketplace to go to. And this was previously an eBay company, which they sort of didn't get round to doing anything terribly well with it, but they've increased the value of it, and it's now been sold to Microsoft. So what do we think Microsoft are going to do with it?
Well, I wanted to ask the same question. What does it mean?
Well, what it means is, like you say, you've got a massive, they've got a massive, massive captive audience, haven't they?
Well, they have, and if you think that the next big thing on the internet is really this kind of usage of, we're using an internet protocol network at the moment, sort of between Paris, the UK, and Slovakia here in Poprad. And that's one of the big things that's coming along. And I can see Microsoft actually monetizing that through corporates. And that's where I can see their big business will be. Because I can tell you, dear listener, if you buy a television set. In fact, I was watching an American TV show the other night, specifically where they'd done up a house for somebody, and they bought a couple of these internet protocol televisions. They will have cost a small fortune, an absolute fortune. When in today's world, with a good internet connection and service like Skype, you can do great video conferences on your television. I mean, I talk to friends at home on my television set, believe it or not. Yeah.
Can I do that?
Yes.
So I need to know how you do this.
I won't go there today, but we can have a little session on that. And genuinely, there's a webcam on the top of my TV. There's a radio microphone, so I sit on the sofa. I talk to people. I look at them on a widescreen telly, and it's absolutely... I'm not saying it's high-definition television yet, but it's certainly of VHS quality, and it's very, very good. In fact, some friends were there the other night because their relatives had got some work in Ireland, and it was, you know, it's terribly expensive to keep phoning all the time. So I said, here, hang on a minute, Eva, why don't you come over, and then you can talk to Monica, because she's got Skype, and you just sit on the television and watch her. And she said, can you do that? I said, yeah.
Interesting. So, you know, it's widescreen.
Yes.
Does that make all your friends look fat?
No.
Oh. Only you.
But yes.
that was just gratuitously rude.
Yeah, I know.
I'll
tell you what I'll do.
Not only you, the rest of them as well.
I'll tell you what I'll do for you. I'll find a cheap way of doing what you're asking, and we'll produce a postcard from Pop Brad fact sheet for you. How's that?
Oh, amazing.
Okay.
That'll do, won't it? But you have to remind me, because otherwise I'll forget. Ooh la la! Chucks away, Freddie. McDonald's is good and blue. I don't really see this. The brand image doesn't work. But apparently the head of McDonald's in the UK has criticised people for being too snobby about working in fast food chains. He continues, McDonald's is one of many companies across the UK which offers work-based placements or traineeship schemes. This is all to do with an odd system in the UK, which doesn't apply around the world, where people can go and get apprenticeships. Now, there's terms called internships as well, which are used quite a lot around the world.
Similar, they're also called Mac jobs.
Oh, very good.
Well, don't they are?
Yeah, I know.
They are.
as opposed to Windows.
And it comes down to this sort of thing of everybody wanting to get a degree where you can't get a job afterwards. Honestly, when we had this as a music station years ago, I was really proud of the fact that nobody on the music team actually had a degree. I was very proud of that. We had better people than those that had degrees and can't do anything with them. But what McDonald's are saying is, you know, don't be too snobby about a job. You can get good feelings about a job, whether it's in fast food. No, I have to say, I agree with him.
Well, I agree with him entirely. Yeah, and also, like, I'm not vaunting McDonald's in any way, shape, or form, but I do know that their training schemes and their career paths are brilliant. And and retail, although at the moment retail isn't the all singing, dancing thing that it should be in Britain, but a career in retail can take you to phenomenal places.
Absolutely. And I'll add into that one Tesco as well.
Tesco and I'll add in Waitrose.
Yeah. They're all really good.
See how many shops we could mention.
Right? Yeah. A lot of these, if you go into them with the right attitude, a lot of these companies, they might not have, you know, the most cool name on the street, but when it comes to career movement and development, they've actually got fabulous schemes together.
Yeah. And the food's good. And the food's good. You can't say
the food's all right. I prefer a Burger King any day.
Perhaps we all have to go work at Burger King. Anyway, we'll stay with the subject of food for a moment. Apparently, the Brits are going to France to teach them to cook, Mark.
Well, I have to say, it doesn't really surprise me. I mean, every time I meet somebody in France, they say, oh, yes, in the English food, blah, 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 blah. But I think this is a very, very old-fashioned reputation. And I think that if you certainly go into the cities in England now, the food is every bit as good as you find in France. And in fact, I think that in a way, sort of French food has sort of gone stale. I don't think they're really maintaining the reputation. So this doesn't surprise me at all. I think the Brits and people, for instance, like the Australian, got excellent reputation for their treatment of food and of wine.
Well, did you see what's actually on the list of things you're going to get taught?
Well, that's right. They've got this thematic thing. It's the Last Supper.
Elvis Presley's fried peanut butter and banana sandwich.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, that's right. And you found with a heart attack sitting on the loo or something.
Oh, gross. Oh,
poor old Elvis.
And get this.
That was his productive one.
I was very sorry to see that one of the Last Supper events that they've got there, Will and Kate's Royal Wedding Canapes, which, you know, you'd expect that for starters rather than the end. So
well, that's true.
We're talking about the tent they had it in.
No. get this. I love this bit. Courses, or the cost for the courses, are €220 a day. Or you can have a fully inclusive 5 nights for no more than €995.
Well, I have to say, I think €1,000 for the 5 nights, if it's all inclusive, is pretty good value, especially compared to the daily rate.
In France, of course.
And although, you know, there are maybe a lot of people who just don't have a lot of money and it's very difficult for them, but I have to say that as holidays go, this is probably very cheap. I love further education courses. I love them. I've done so many, and this is an example of something I would love to do simply because it's great.
Prime example, Eric. Prime example. So it's the loads of courses. Can't get a job.
Very good, very droll. But no, you're actually quite right, Mark. It's very, very true that it does. It also shows that a lot of good further education is not via a university; it's via other things.
Absolutely.
By learning through life, isn't it? That's how you get on.
I did a bicycle repair course. I did a sushi course. I did a wine course. I did a dry stone walling course. Great. They're great.
Have you been very lonely in your life, Mark?
No, but my girlfriend was.
At the time. Another interesting one, because this will also come up a bit later on as well. Warner Music has been sold a couple of years ago. Yeah. It was EMI. And Len... I'm going to get this wrong, sir. Stop it! Blavatnik. Blavatnik. Thank you.
No, do it yourself. Struggle.
Blavatnik.
I'm not telling you.
Well, that's right. Bless you. Thank you. At you. Russian-born millionaire has paid $3.3 billion for the world's third largest firm. But I have to say, this is probably going to be exactly the same as EMI, because apparently the gentleman also wants to add EMI to his portfolio of businesses. And it probably means a big shake-up at Warner Music.
His Royal Pobness recalls for EMI.
Does he?
Now and again.
Oh, he does actually, yes. Because my mate works in the sort of huge library at EMI and brings out I should shout at him.
Yeah.
It's his fault.
Yeah, I would as well. It's his fault
that Bob Dylan keeps re-emerging.
Oh, why?
Well, because he's the one that brings out all those compilations of stuff and brings out all those.
Ah, no! Yeah. Get lost.
Stop it.
Has my microphone come out, Eric?
I think so. Moving along, he says.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Mother. Facebook has been exposed, allegedly, in a Google smear campaign.
Yes.
I can't find me. Oh, hang on.
It's been revealed that Facebook embarked on a smear campaign against its rival Google, which was announced on a blog. The social network has admitted hiring a PR firm to plant anti-Google stories related to user privacy. Can I just say something to Facebook? Don't bother wasting your money.
Well, it's just a completely ludicrous thing to do, isn't it?
I mean, how big do you have to be before you don't get involved in this kind of thing? I mean, it's just amazing.
I don't get it at all. I really don't. I tell you what, save you money. Twitter users have been trying to, staying with the internet, to break the super injunction laws in the UK and been doing, well, actually, some of them have been doing okay. But a lot of the other ones that are on there pretending to be the super injunction breaking people are a pain in the bum.
That should be the nail in the coffin of stupid, idiotic citizen journalism. There isn't one tweeter out there who's actually done anything right apart as far as these super injunctions are concerned.
Now, there is one, Lee, there is one, mate.
Who?
There's one of, I'm not going to say who it is because we'd be in trouble, but there is a Twitter or a person tweeting who has been putting names of super injunction participants, if I use that term, on Twitter.
And how do we know it's right?
Well, you don't.
Exactly. I rest my case.
Yes, but you wouldn't.
So
do...
you're saying that this bloke is right, but you have no idea if he's right. I'm saying that it is despicable that these people are doing this. Because we have no idea if they're right or wrong. Jeremy Clarkson once again has got involved in it.
Yeah.
And has apparently been having an affair with Jemima Khan, which patently they haven't. But that's the sort of stupid thing that's coming out. You can't say this is a good thing because somebody puts something online or tweets it and you don't really know if it's true or not. It's a waste of time.
I think that the trouble is that the stories that we're talking about were once better placed in a newspaper that's been closed.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I don't see...
Well, yeah!
No, it's because all that happens there is that the next newspaper will pick it up and use it. But to put it out on Twitter... We've got a really good story for Twitter next week, haven't we, Mr. Eric?
We have indeed. Indeed, well, very positive about Twitter.
Absolutely. I tell you what, Twitter, you'll be proud of yourselves.
Absolutely. Digital music sales passed £1 billion in the UK. It's the first time that the music service has broken the £1 million barrier. The BPI says that just over 1014 million has been spent since they were launched in 2004.
Is this on downloads?
Yes.
Well, why does it say? Why is it talking about albums?
Well, because they do albums on download.
I think you can download whole albums.
Yeah.
And do people now get a cut of the money? You know, do the artists actually still get a cut of the money now?
Of course, it's through the BPI.
That's fine. Just check it. Just making an inquiry.
I know what it is. I know what it is. The two words Bob Dylan are not in this big list of stuff here.
That's right. I have to say something now. Do you remember what Jesus taught us?
What's that?
Well, actually, I didn't.
Yeah, go on, Mark. You keep singing.
You taught us, did you? You taught all over me punchline. That was really funny.
Yeah,
that
right.
Was an Alice in Wonderland joke.
It was rather, wasn't it? Yes. Complete with cakes as well. Adele, Lee, the clue is in this first part of the sentence.
We did the computer joke last week.
Which is on your screen in front of you. Adele's album 21 is the most popular download.
Yeah.
album, download, album, download, download, album. Can you download albums? Followed by Lady Gaga's The Fame and the Kings of Leon's Only by the Night.
Six of the top ten albums
are by UK artists. Downloads.
Oh,
we're still sitting there. When it comes to singles, Lady Gaga and Kings of Leon have done well again. I've got a feeling by the Black Eyed Peas, brilliant, is the best selling digital singer.
By the Black Eyed Peas, you better go and see the doctor.
Followed by Sex on Fire by Kings of Leon and Poker Face by Lady Gaga.
Right,
the BPI also says that digital sales are good for consumers too, for two reasons actually. One of which, when you chuck out a CD that doesn't work anymore, it takes 500 years to break down in a landfill site, so it's not very good for the eco-friendly world that we're supposed to live in.
And burn them.
It doesn't break them down properly.
It sets them on fire, though.
Yes, and you get all that black mush behind them as well.
I know, don't breathe in when you're doing it. No, it's horrible.
True. Figures also show it's quite good for consumers because album sales have pushed the price of albums down from typically £10 in 2004 to £7.32 last year. So it's good for consumers as well.
Oh, that's quite a drop, really. People, actually, but that's, you consider inflation as well.
Well, you think over 6 years, because that's figures from 2004.
Yeah.
So in 6 years, the price has gone down by, 30% almost. That's not a bad saving for consumers. More better value for money.
Well, if you allow for inflation, it could be actually that the price is halved.
Yes.
Because if £7.32 in sort of real money, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And if you allow for a 10-year time lag, it could have quadrupled.
Oh, smarty pants.
Right.
Yes. We didn't need that, did we, Mark?
I'm still trying to work out what it meant.
Yeah. Great.
You've lost me now.
Great news for internet radio. There's new figures out in the UK that says that overall listening hours via the internet shot up 28% last year from 29 million to 38 million. Just
is
in
that
the,
how many's listening to us now?
Probably not. Some of the winners in this... Oh, God, Mark's going to go on now. Some of the winners... Yeah, he is. He's going to go on. Some of the winners in the latest radio figures from the UK includes BBC Radio 4's The Today programme, which has added 600,000 listeners in it and won in a year, according to figures, because Mark went back and put his vote down for him.
Yeah. Well, I think that's great. And whatever you might think about things like Radio 4 and so forth,
Radio 4 is really good.
Well, apart from that, I think that
Radio 4 is really boring.
It's great that there's so many people listening to it because I think it gives a real sense of community, it gives a sense of national community. And I think that this is one of the problems with other places that one might think of where they've got much more fragmented radio.
Mm.
And there isn't a sort of sense of identity, which I think is a great thing. And I think that exists in England and the United Kingdom. And I think
Absolutely.
It's because of, if you like, huge readership of newspapers, huge listenership to particular radio stations. And I think it's a common point of presence. And I think it's great news.
Yep. Well, apparently
I'm
on this...
I have to say, though, that Radio 4 is anodyne and weak and totally unimpressive.
That's because you're a red-top tabloid journalist.
It's nothing to do with that. When's the last time? When's the last time Radio 4's managed to change the world? What sort of station with its... any intelligence at all, and still be putting the Archers on. When have they
tell me a radio station which is changing the world. Tell me a radio station which is changing the world.
RTI.
Apart from RTI.
Yes.
<right.
laughs>
I'll chuck in one proper. Talk Sport.
Yeah,
they're changing the world. Mike Perry's a really good mate of mine. And they are fighting, and they're breaking new ground all the time. Good on them.
Well done. Anyway, a record number on this quarter, a record number of people in the UK have been listening to radio, with something like 47.3 million tuning into at least one station a week. That's according to Rajar, which is the body that looks after and measures radio audiences around the quarter for both BBC and commercial radio stations. BBC Radio 4 drew a record average audience of 10.83 million from January to March, with its Today programme breaking 7 million for the first time.
But do you know why all these figures are going up?
Why?
Well, it's dead simple, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I'm with you now. It's because newspapers are failing.
No, it isn't at all. It's because most people spend most of the time on the computer, and they can't really watch telly while they're on the computer. No. So what they do is they listen to the radio.
Sure. I think you could well be right.
Actually, Mark, don't you think that owes me an apology?
Ungraciously, I'm going to have to say, I'm sorry, I agree with you. BBC Radio 2's Chris Evans remains king of the breakfast shows with...
Yeah, he's boring.
No, he's not. With 9.18 million. Now, he's not as good as Chris Evans, because I prefer Chris Evans.
Listen, what I'm hearing from Lee here is that the 11 million people who listen to Radio 4 and over 9 million people who listen to Radio 2 at about the same time, so that's 19, nearly 20 million people, in fact, it is 20 mm-hmm. million people,
yes,
are just completely boring and made an error of judgment.
No, what it
I
is...
I don't
no,
believe it.
I have I have.
I
an
don't
argument.
Believe it.
I have an argument.
Go
Very
on, then.
Simply, the reason everybody's listening, I listen to Radio 2 sometimes, and I listen to Radio 4, and I listen to BBC Radio Shropshire for some awful, unknown reason. The reason you do it is A, because you're sitting in front of your computer and you can't do anything else, yeah. B, because you're in your car driving and you can't watch telly while you're doing that, so you put the radio on. All sorts of reasons.
That's Radio the entire reason.
Why aren't you listening to Radio Sport?
Why do I listen to Radio
Sport? No, why aren't you listening to Radio Sport instead of these two
Talk Sport.
You big knob.
Talk Sport.
No, very sad. I do listen to it. Mike Parry's a good mate of mine. Like I say, we actually started in journalism together.
Well, so he needs a listener, doesn't he, really?
He's got what they got 3.5 million. They've got now 3.5 million.
Oh, you're right.
Well, anyway, congratulations to Talk Sport, who won the an award at the Sony Radio Academy Awards this particular week. They became the first commercial station like that to actually win an award. So that's really good for National Station of the Year. So well done to them. Overall, in the commercial radio terms, they had an audience of 34 million people a week. Not bad for the advertising. And equally, Lee, have you ever tried reading a newspaper while you're driving a car?
Well, that was exactly what I was saying. I'm coming out of this so well, you know.
I think not. Max Mosley's European court privacy case, and although he lost, the judges were actually
European court, or you've been caught?
Yeah, right, both. It was noticeable how the judges were rather nasty about newspapers at the same time.
Well, they weren't, though, were they? It's just simple.
Hang on, was I listening to a different interview with the judges?
The judges? Well, judges are jerks.
Oh, dear.
Five, right?
Yeah.
Mr. Mosley, if you don't want to get in the newspapers... Don't do the crime.
The interesting thing is, of course, that in 2008, the UK High Court, as it was then known, now called the Supreme Court, awarded him £60,000 in damages after ruling there was no justification for a front-page article and pictures about his meeting with five prostitutes in a London flat.
Mm. Which was a bad ruling, a ruling that has actually done nothing to change the world, has absolutely had no effects on anything. It was a ruling, and it just happened to go in Mr. Mosley's favour, which I'm sure he was really pleased about, because he needed 60 grand.
But of course, that ruling has not been overturned by this European decision.
No, it hasn't.
Because there were different issues. But I just to express an opposing view, and I think I've said this before, the first thing is that I think that probably Mosley was bang to rights. The second thing is that the European court, basically, it seemed to me, was saying that we're not going to give this ruling because it's too difficult to enforce. Mm-hmm. But did say that, you know, there could be public interest. I'm not sure that Mosley's case was public, you know, should be protected.
There's a simple fact. While I'm in this sort of conciliatory mood, let me just say
this.
It's dead simple.
Yeah.
Right? It's dead simple. There is a need to be able to expose wrongdoing, like Eric knows, and we'll share with you next week. I am exposing wrongdoing at this particular moment, and you should have the power to do that and all the tools that you need to do that. Now, unfortunately, in an organic thing like journalism, there is collateral damage. Like anything else that goes on in this world, there is a collateral damage. And sometimes, and I'm not saying for one second that I think Max Mosley was collateral damage, but people will get hurt. There was something that we said earlier on about the fact that actually the little man on the street who does something wrong, you know, it's a bit of a sexual peccadillo, he doesn't get exposed for doing it because there's no reason to. But when somebody who courts publicity and makes their way in the world by using and abusing newspapers at times, then they are fair game and should always will be. There is no other country in the world that has super injunctions.
Right, let's make Lee happy because we are running out of time. This particular week is coming up on the 24th of May, is Bob Dylan's 70th birthday. And to mark that occasion...
We love you, Bobby. Oh, yes, we do.
Rolling Stone magazine has compiled a poll of Bob Dylan tracks, and like a Rolling Stone, no surprises there then, has come in at the top slot. Like a Rolling Stone was described by U2's Bono as a black eye of pop songs, while Mick Jagger simply said, praise the simplicity of Desolation Row, which I have got no idea what it is.
And in my Desolation Row? That's a brilliant song.
If my life depended on it, I couldn't say a word of it.
Yes, you would. I'll send you a copy. Go and download it. Go and download it. It costs you a couple of quid.
Desolation Row.
That was just a little bit of it.
No,
I tell you what, like a Rolling Stone. Now, I hold my hands up here, and I have to say this is an honest opinion, and it is the truth, and it will never be beaten. This is what happened. Like a Rolling Stone came out in 1965, and if you remember it, that snare drum beginning to it, and then the incendiary wall of sound that was bigger than Phil Spector's, everything started to, and these incredible lyrics with this howling banshee of a voice singing about the destruction of the rich and famous. That's what the song is about.
Do you know what you sound like?
I sound like I'm a Bob Dylan fan.
Yeah, you quite like the song now,
I can see.
you remind me of one of those pillocks that goes on about wine tasting of the snow-clad mountains with the goat pooing on the ground.
Well, I have to say, I enjoyed Lee's description of it because I think it was a marvellous song, and I think that most of Bob Dylan's songs are really terrific, and I was very pleased to hear that. I could change my mind, Lee. So
yes. And very quickly on the final story of this week, as we run out of time, mobile phones have been apparently blamed for the death of honeybees. Twats.
Pick up.
Hey! Twats. Signals from mobile phones could be partly to blame, says a journalist who doesn't know what he's talking about, for the mystery deaths of honeybees, according to new research. Right, research. Get the laws of physics out. If that was the case, towns and cities like London that have huge transmitters in them would all have dead bees. It's got damn all...
There are no dead bees because they're all dead. They're not coming down and dying now because they've all been dead.
There are heaps of bees in London, and they have hives on top of buildings and make not jam.
Thank you.
How do you know? You live in Paris.
I do know.
On that happy note, boys and girls, we've got to say goodbye. Say goodbye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Buzz, buzz, buzz. See you next week on Postcards from Pop Brad. Bye-bye.
From the heart of the earth to the world, RTI.